You're listening to Valley Edition. For many people who contract Valley fever, the symptoms are minimal. In fact, most people don't even know they've had the airborne fungal disease that's spread by spores throughout the Southwest, including the San Joaquin Valley. But Bakersfield resident Juan Solis is not one of those people. He's lucky to be alive after contracting the disease in 2008. In his case, it spread from his lungs to other parts of his body. And the drug that helps keep him alive has serious consequences. His story is documented in a new report by Harold Pierce of the Bakersfield Californian in the series Just One Breath. The series is a product of the Center for Health Journalism Collaborative. Valley Public Radio is also a member of the collaborative. In fact, Juan's story is the lead article on KVPR.org today. Harold joins us now. Harold, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me, Joe.
So before we get to this terrible catch-22 situation that Juan is in with the medication that keeps him alive, let's go back to the beginning. Who is Juan Solis, and when did all of this begin?
Yeah, Juan Solis is he's a Bakersfield resident, and before he got sick with Valley fever in 2008, he designed trusses for homes that are being built out here. And this started one day. He was generally an office guy. He did work in the office, but occasionally he had to go out and work on some trusses outdoors, obviously. He caught a windy day. It was dusty out, and he caught Valley fever. He didn't know it was Valley fever for the first 6 or 7 months, though. His doctors told him, you know, everything under the sun, that he was, you know, he was getting night sweats because he was stressed out, because he was overweight, because, you know, they sent him to an optometrist, check for the pressure in his head. They sent him to all kinds of different specialists trying to figure out what was wrong with him, when really it was Valley fever. So by the time it had progressed and developed, it actually turned into coxemeningitis, which is a rarer complication when that fungal spore that you breathe in that causes Valley fever disseminates throughout your bloodstream.
So all of a sudden, what is in most cases, for most people, not the most severe sort of disease, for him, very, very severe, in fact, life-threatening.
Right. This is one of the rare cases. And like you said, you know, Valley fever, for a lot of people, you get it, you don't even know you have it. And you generally develop an immunity to it for most cases, most people, that is.
So in his case, I guess you could say there's good news, is there's some medication that can help him, but it's a lot more complicated than that. What did
right.
doctors do, and what did they prescribe?
Right. The medication is kind of the catch-22 you're talking about. It's called voriconazole, or VFN for short. It's an antifungal drug, and it wasn't developed for Valley fever. None of the drugs that are used to treat Valley fever or treated for Valley were created for Valley fever. In fact, they're all kind of used off-label, as they call it. And the problem with this particular drug is that, first off, it's expensive. But the other thing that's really detrimental is that it causes extreme photosensitivity. It's sensitive to light at that point. So Juan has trouble going outdoors now. He can't step into the sun. He's developed skin cancer. The skin cancer is so severe now that he has to go to the dermatologist every 3 to 5 weeks or so to have his dermatologist scrape lesions off of his skin. It's pretty detrimental to his health, and I think his wife said it best. You know, you either die of Valley fever quickly or you die of skin cancer really slowly, and right now, they've chosen to go with the voriconazole treatment because what other choice do they have?
And you mentioned it's expensive. That is also an issue for him because insurance was an issue.
Insurance was an issue, yeah, yeah. And I think that drug can generally cost, for the dosage that Juan is on, it's a pretty high dosage, roughly about $900 a month or so. He's gotten on enough different health care plans and through Obamacare and things like that that he's got it down significantly cheaper. But it is an expensive drug. Yeah.
Why didn't the doctors suspect it earlier? Has he asked that question, and is there any answer? I mean, this is in an area that is endemic to Valley fever. Are physicians not looking out for this enough? Are you hearing that?
You know, that was a while back. That was 2008 when he was initially diagnosed. I'd like to think there's been a greater level of awareness since then. You know, the collaborative that we work with has put together this project, I think, in 2012 or so. I'd like to think there's a heightened level of awareness now. But I think that one of the bigger problems is physicians in Kern County, because of the area it's located in, you have a lot of physicians who are kind of at the revolving door area. You know, new physicians come in, by the time they get to learn how what the symptoms are for valley fever and get to diagnose them quickly and become very good with it, they're ready to pack up and go somewhere else. It's kind of a it's kind of a difficulty of for healthcare in this area, is what I've heard from my blog doctors.
So essentially, Juan is going to be living with this condition the rest of his life. This drug isn't a cure, right?
No, this drug is not a cure. This drug holds it at bay. And I think one of the saddest things about the story is that we were there at the dermatologist's office, and we were talking to his doctor, and we had asked the question, well, if they develop this treatment for valley fever out in Arizona, they're working on this drug called Nicomycin Z right now that has cured valley fever in lab rats. If they develop that, if they get it to human trials, if it actually works, and if he takes it, is the skin cancer going to subside? And the answer is no, absolutely not. It's just gone way too far at this point, and he's going to be living with that the rest of his life. I think that's probably the saddest part of the story.
And his family is affected, too. His wife, I know, is caring for him now. What is the family situation there like? How has this put strain on them?
You know, I think it's really tough. I think they just gotten to the point, actually, where they've moved homes from the Southwest just this past weekend, I think, when the story ran. They moved to a smaller home. But I think that Julie now is, the wife, she's really fighting to bring more awareness to valley fever. She's going to be very dedicated her life to this. I mean, it wasn't just her husband who got valley fever. Obviously, he got the more severe case of it. But as soon as they found out that his diagnosis, they went out and tested the rest of the family, and their daughter had valley fever as well. She had developed it. So they got her on the drug, I think, fluconazole, and I think for about 6 months or so, she was on that drug, and she had gotten better. She doesn't show any symptoms anymore. But it just goes to show that this can affect absolutely everybody who's out here living in the Southern San Joaquin Valley and breathing the air.
You can find Harold's latest story about valley fever and Juan Solis on bakersfield.com. Also, it's the lead story on kvpr.org today. It's all part of this project called Just One Breath. It's a collaboration with the Center for Health Journalism at USC, and the Californian and Valley Public Radio are partners in that. Harold, thanks so much for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.